about overconfidence, Clinton stays on the trail. The president weekends at his retreat, boning up for the last debate. TV viewers get an economics lesson from Professor Perot. Good morning, this is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup. Complete with charts, graphs, and a pointer, Ross Perot went on NBC TV last night for another national economics lesson. He spent $150,000 of his money to tell Americans they've been frivolous with theirs.
We'd better get busy and start rebuilding our great country and not just wandering around saying, well, everything will work out if we don't do anything.
The bitter Perot prescription for the budget deficit, heavy doses of taxes, tax the rich, tax business, and throwing all political caution to the wind, tax rich and poor together.
Here's one you don't like. Raise the gasoline tax. That brings us $158 billion, which we'll use to rebuild our country. Every other industrialized country has a much higher tax than we're proposing. It's 10 cents additional per year for 5 years.
The Republicans and Democrats, meanwhile, continued their more conventional campaigns.
This is Rob Armstrong with the Bush campaign. The president says despite the dismal polling results and reports of disarray in his campaign, his goal is not out of reach.
Politics is like baseball. It ain't over until the last batter swings, and we are going to win this election.
The campaign has apparently decided that if Mr. Bush is to turn things around, only one issue will do it, the so-called character issue. Mr. Bush hit it hard in Edison, New Jersey.
My problem is this pattern of deception. We cannot have this pattern of deception brought into the Oval Office. I believe you cannot lead the American people by misleading the American people.
The president will spend the weekend at Camp David, resting and preparing for Monday night's final debate in East Lansing, Michigan. Rob Armstrong, CBS News with the Bush campaign.
This is Frank Settapani in Little Rock. For the past week, the Clinton campaign has followed a pattern. Debate, hit the campaign trail, slow down, and debate again. Today is a slow day ahead of Monday's final debate, but last night it was high energy. Al Gore, carrying the ball while Bill Clinton rested his voice, gave President Bush a jolt of Louisiana lightning. In a pair of speeches in New Orleans, one a stone's throw from the spot where President Bush introduced Dan Quayle 4 years ago.
The budget deficit has gone up. Consumer confidence has gone down. Everything that should be down has gone up. Everything that should be up has gone down. They've got it upside down, and we're going to turn it right side up with your help.
The Democrats consider Louisiana a key state in the Republican South that they can win. Today, the campaign heads north to Michigan, a battleground state where Clinton and Gore hope to turn economic despair into Democratic votes. Frank Settapani, CBS News, with the Clinton campaign in Little Rock.
It's 3 minutes after the hour. This is a busy weekend for the candidates for vice president. Democrat Al Gore and his wife Tipper hit the hustings in Florida. Vice President Quayle and his wife Marilyn will focus on Texas and its big electoral vote prize. Raphael McDonald of CBS radio affiliate KRLD Dallas has more.
Vice President and Mrs. Quayle will be in Dallas to take part in fundraising events for the Susan G. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. Among the events are a 5-kilometer race for the cure for women only. Event organizer Pat Janung says even though the vice president won't be able to take part, Marilyn Quayle will be out there running.
She will be running the race, not walking. And she is one of our big supporters, and she will be on stage to give her thoughts and how she feels about this breast cancer issue.
Janung says the vice president took it well when he was told he couldn't take part in the run. However, the Quayles will host a gala dinner to raise money for breast cancer research. Raphael McDonald for CBS News, Dallas.
A strong earthquake, 6.6 on the Richter scale, has hit Colombia. We have this information from Stan Yarborough in Bogota.
It struck before dawn in the Colombian town of Marindo. That's a town just 90 miles northwest of Medellin, Colombia's second largest city. The town of 2,500 people reportedly suffered damage to many homes, as well as its church and several government buildings. Experts say they were surprised by the quake, since Marindo lies in an area that is not considered high risk for seismic activity.
But pilots from Colombia's Public Health Service who arrived in Marindo said they found no dead or injured. An American team led by General John Vesey is visiting Hanoi to preview the progress of finding Americans still missing from the war. We have a report from Rick Frederickson.
The high-powered American delegation is led by the presidential envoy on the MIA issue, whose previous trips to Hanoi have resulted in positive gestures from the Vietnamese. With U.S. elections next month, one source speculates Hanoi may put forth new information, hoping to strike a deal with Washington to end its trade embargo. The delegation declined to comment on reports that American agents covertly working in Vietnam had uncovered new evidence that many of the servicemen were dead. Even before the weekend talks, the two sides agreed to launch the largest post-war search for MIAs in Vietnam. By mid-January, all 135 of the highest priority cases will have been investigated, including servicemen last known to have been alive. Rick Frederickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
In Baghdad, UN weapons inspectors have begun a new search for evidence Saddam Hussein might be hiding Scud missiles left over from the war. The 50-member UN team set out from their hotel on buses, declining to tell reporters or the Iraqis where they were going to look. It is now 6 minutes after the hour. A retired federal judge has gotten a call to probe the loans for Iraq case. Correspondent David Martin reports.
Besieged by calls from Democrats for a court-appointed special prosecutor, Attorney General William Barr went partway and named his own special counsel to investigate the Justice Department's handling of a case involving fraudulent bank loans to Iraq. Here's former federal judge Frederick Lacy, who told reporters he had accepted the job only on one condition.
And that was that I had complete access to every file and in every file, every document that's been developed in the course of this matter, and that I had complete access to every individual who's worked on this matter who may have any knowledge about it.
The Justice Department and CIA have been accused of failing to conduct a full investigation into the case involving $4 billion in illicit loans to Iraq. Some Democrats said Lacey's appointment was not enough because the Justice Department is a target of the investigation, and the Attorney General should not be appointing his own investigator.
With health care dollars very tight, the state of Florida is trying to make some tough choices and stirring controversy in the process. The state wants to give the elderly the lowest priority at state-funded clinics. That could mean long waiting periods at some clinics or even no appointments available to older people. Not fair, says Hollywood, Florida retirement home operator Larry Sherber.
To me, this is just blatant discrimination because there are actually age brackets of prioritized medicine. We have a 2.5-year-old child, and I also have a 7-year-old mother. I don't want to play God of who gets care and who doesn't get care.
In Ashland, Oregon, a heavily armed man who held policemen and federal officers at bay since yesterday afternoon has surrendered peacefully. Chief Deputy Marshal Michael O'Brien.
He wanted news cameramen there and all the lights on outside that we could provide so he could see the situation and news people there so that they could film it. And when he came out, he felt that that would increase his chances for safety.
The standoff with the man, Maynard Campbell, began when deputies went to his home to serve warrants. Veteran Senator Daniel Inouye of Hawaii denies charges raised during his reelection campaign. A 40-year-old woman claims Inouye forced her to have sex with him in his Waikiki apartment 17 years ago. Lenore Kwok told a news conference.
He grabbed me as soon as I came in the door and proceeded to put his advances on me.
But Senator Inouye says it never happened.
She's never been to the apartment. She's never been to my office.
Inouye charges his Republican opponent with trying to smear him. It was supposed to be a tribute to Bob Dylan, who wrote and sang a lot of protest songs himself, but the spotlight was turned on controversial Irish performer Sinead O'Connor in New York last night. Robin Sagan with the story.
From Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash to the Clancy Brothers and Eric Clapton, George Harrison and Tom Petty, each sang a Dylan song with special significance for them. The evening's one note of controversy came from Sinead O'Connor, who, faced with boos from a large portion of the sellout crowd, dropped her Dylan selection, instead breaking into an a cappella version of Bob Marley's War.
Until the philosophy which holds one race superior.
War, the song O'Connor sang 2 weeks ago on Saturday Night Live before tearing up a picture of the Pope. O'Connor left the stage in tears but returned for the finale, Dylan himself leading those who'd honored him in an all-star version of Knocking on Heaven's Door. Robin Sagan, CBS News, New York.
Toronto will start Jack Morris while Tom Glavine gets the nod for the Braves as the World Series opens tonight in Atlanta. Braves fans there are predicting, what else, that the South will rise again.
I believe the Braves are going to just sweep them. I'm rooting for that. I'd like to see him at least win these two and go up there and win two more and just get it over with quick.
Several hundred people spent the night outdoors in Omaha. In spite of below freezing temperatures, it was the second annual Great Plains Winter Sleepout, organized to call attention to the plight of the homeless. Now 10 minutes after the hour.